for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 6th, 1992, Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Elwin and Mavis Lewis are the teachers of the afternoon. This is one of two of this service.
Mavis and I want to express our appreciation for the invitation to come and to be with the Millers and with you and at this camp. I just thank God for what He's doing on this property and all of God's blessings that have been outpoured and bestowed, all the victories and deliverances that have come forth, and we rejoice in the Lord. Let's just pray together and ask God to bless what He wants to do today, and offer our vessels as instruments of righteousness unto Him. Amen. Father, we thank You for the anointing that flows in this place. Much prayer has gone up from this place in intercession. God, we feel that anointing that comes as a result of intercession. We thank You, Lord, as we stand here in this sacred place. God, we thank You, Lord, that we can look to You, the author, the finisher of our faith, and we can put our trust in You that all things that are necessary and important in this service will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that many who have problems in the areas of dysfunctional families will be blessed, instruction will come forth, revelation knowledge, and that the heart and understanding will be illuminated, and we'll give You praise and glory and honor. We thank You for the Millers, for their dedication, for this camp. We pray Your continued blessings upon them, and that they every need shall be met for this camp, financially and spiritually and physically, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as they enter into the building of these additional buildings, we just pray, God, that You would supply that need. Because there's many, many more people that need to be in these camps. And the provisions of this will make that possible. So we call it into being in the name of Jesus and for Thy glory. Amen. I'm going to speak for just a few minutes, and then my wife is coming to finish up our time with you together. I want to lay a foundation in the Word of God for the theology of the family. Many people are kind of afraid of that word theology. But you don't have to be afraid of the word theology, because it's simply the study of God and His attributes and His nature and His relationship to creation. How many here today have been created of God? Well, theology won't bother you then. I'm just using that term because I feel that in the study of the Word of God and in theological studies that sometimes the family has been relegated to a second position as far as teaching in our Bible colleges and in schools and in churches, that it's kind of taken a second part to the theories and or the theologies of salvation and of the Holy Spirit and of Christ. All of those are important, but I believe that in these last days, the theology of the family needs to come to the forefront. And we are facing today the issues of the family in our nation politically. They're asking the question about family values. What is a family? What is normal for a family? The traditional concepts altered by the lifestyles that people are living today in the 90s. And so what a family means to one may not mean that to another. And so we as Christians need to hang on and hold on and to stand up for the traditional value of the family. And so the only way we can do that is to have a greater understanding of the theology of the family. The world will never define the family apart from the theology of the family. So as we study this today and as we look at it today, we want to see that the function of the family depends upon this relationship of understanding of the family as it comes from the heart of God. So Paul says in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse, and we begin reading there. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 3:14. Here we have laid out by Paul the theology of the family. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's a powerful group of words. Let me read it again. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. Now that word strengthened can be translated healed. To be healed or strengthened with might. That's inward power through his spirit in the inner man. Where does it come from? Where does this healing strength come from? It comes from the spirit man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled. That's important. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There's a power that is working in us. But God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. So God is at work in us. The extension or the amount of the work that God can do, it depends upon how much we allow him to work. God wants to do a work in us that brings the fullness, amen, the fullness of all that he is and all that he has to offer unto us. Go back to the beginning. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And down in the 16th verse it says, through the Spirit. So an understanding of the family comes from an understanding of the nature of God, of the relationship of the Trinitarian nature, the relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, the family began way back there before God created the heavens and the earth. It began in the relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were a family together. And so as we look at that, we see that God intended for his nature. He intended for that which were the qualities of his attributes to be infused into the nature of the family. And so when he created man, and in the first chapter of Genesis, he said that, let us. And the word there for God is Elohim, which is a plural term, meaning that there was more than one personality. And it says, let us. But God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so the nature of God in creation is imparted to us as his creation. So coming into us is the nature of the Father. Coming into us is the nature of the Son. Coming into us is the nature of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to see that apart from this nature, there can be no family. Without the nature of God being infused within us, we cannot be a family. Anything that is apart from God is not a family. And people are trying to make families today apart from God, and it's impossible for a family to function apart from the nature of God. So God the Father, He possesses the nature of the Father, just as He is named. Jesus possesses the nature of the Son, or the childlike nature that all of us have. And then the Holy Spirit possesses the nature of the mother, or the feminine qualities and nature. And so when God created man, He created Adam first, and He put all these qualities into Adam. And then He said, it is not good for man to live alone, or to be alone. And so He created woman. He took out of the side of Eve the rib, and He created woman. And He not only did that physically, but He did that in the sense of He took the qualities of the mother and of the female qualities that you know today, and He imports them into the woman, which were in Eve in the beginning. And therefore, when the first child come forth, there came forth the quality of that childlike spirit into that child. And so we see birth by the power of creation, and by the hand of God, there came forth the family. So the oneness and the unity of God in His working, in His relationship in heaven, and these are functions that are pure. They are functions that are proper. And anything that is apart from God is dysfunctional. So the reason that we have dysfunctional families today is people are not in the fullness of the likeness of Christ. Sin has marred. Sin has brought forth a destructive force in the lives of what God has created, you and me. And so in order for families to be functionable, it is essential that they take up the nature of God. And so let's read some of that here in the passage. That we would grant you, or He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory. Now the riches of His glory is His presence. The Shekinah glory in the tabernacle was the presence of God above the mercy seat. You're acquainted with the mercy seat in the tabernacle? And you acquainted with the word Shekinah glory. Well, it just is in, it's synonymous with the idea of the presence of God. And so the presence of God, when we talk about the glory, is the presence, the essence of God that is given to us. And so when Paul is writing in here, he says that God would grant to us according to the riches of His glory, according to His presence. Now, grace is the presence of God. In fact, the definition I have of grace is the influence of God working in us to make us pure and morally strong. That's what grace is. It's the influence of God working in us to make us morally strong, to make us pure. And so in order for the family to be functionable and to move from dysfunction into function, we have to have the grace of God. There's no way that we can circumvent the grace of God in order to have an answer or a healing to our problems in our family. So there is no other source. There is no other way. The world does not have an answer to dysfunctional families. The world cannot, with all their learning and all their study and with all their psychology, they cannot come up with the answer. There is no answer in man's reasoning. The only answer to dysfunctional families today is that we come into the likeness and the fullness of God in His essence and in His attributes. Then he goes on to say that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be healed or strengthened. There's the source. Is the healing source for the family is from the presence of God with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell. This word dwell is important. It means that God makes a home in our hearts. He makes a dwelling place. And so if God is in us, which God in us is the hope of glory, or Christ in us is the hope of glory. So when Christ is in us, if Christ is in the Father, if God, Christ is working in the mother, if Christ is working in the children, then we can have a functional family. But if any time that that dwelling of Christ breaks down, then it breaks down the home relationships and it becomes dysfunctional. It says, may Christ dwell in your heart through faith. Faith is an important element of our being able to function as a family. In the second chapter of Ephesians, the seventh verse, or the eighth verse, it says, by grace you are saved. That word saved is inclusive. That means everything that we need done for us to make things right is involved in salvation. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So it is essential that we have faith in order that we see the healing of the family. Then it goes on to say that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, that you may be grounded and rooted in love. See, without love, there can be no family relationship. So the love of God is essential. Even as faith, the presence of God first, faith that we have, the grace of God, the love of God, all of these are part of the theology of the family. And so with God being the example and the essence and the creator of the family, all of these things move down and they must function. And we must put them into operation and we must put them into action in our lives in order for us to have a functional family. Now let's look at the nature of God again. Last night, Jack was talking about the attributes of the Father that needs to be the priest of the home and the prophet and the king. These three terms are very important throughout the Word of God. But they begin in the nature of God. See, the Father is the prophet. He is the one that takes the word of his word and brings it forth. He is the author, the finisher of the author of our salvation. He is the one who has put it into action. He is the creator of that which is essential. So his words, the prophet is the one that brings forth the word. So the word is founded and it comes forth from the Father. Then the Holy Spirit is the priest of the home. You go back to Romans, or not the priest, the priest, and then the other identification would be the intercessor. And you go back to Romans, the eighth chapter, and if you want to turn there with me right quick, Romans 8, if I can find it right quick. And the 26th verse, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, but for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. There's many times in our family when we come to the place where we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to deal with the problems. We don't know how to overcome the situations that are there. But thank God He has infused within us this presence of the Holy Spirit, which is the priest, the representative of God, and he comes in and he says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, and is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, according to the prophetic word of the Father. The Holy Spirit brings forth and intercedes for us and makes sure that these things come into being. So in the problems of our homes, we need the Holy Spirit in order to intercede before the Father that that nature that He has might be transformed back into us, amen, and that we might correct our course. When they went to the moon, as you know, the astronauts constantly had to correct their course in order to hit the moon. And we every day have to correct our courses in our family. We have to meet every problem and every situation and every circumstance every day. And what needs to be corrected, we have to correct in order to keep on course and be able to come to the fullness of God's intent and will for our lives. Amen. Now, the nature of the Son, Jesus Christ, is the childlike nature. If you'll turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter, we'll find where Jesus taught about this. And He said in the 18th chapter of Matthew, in the first verse, He said, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called a little child to Him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God.'" So you see, Jesus Christ, He came as a child. He came in the manger. He came to reflect that childlike spirit that we have in our lives. No matter how old you are, you'll never quit being a child. You'll always have a nature of the child in you. It's always there. No matter how mature you think you might be, there's always that presence of the child in you. Some of you, there's a difference between being childish and being a child. Amen. Now, you need to get over being childish, I should say. But you never should overcome being childlike, because the attributes of a child are important to our Christian faith. It's important to the relationship we have one with another. The joys of childhood. You remember some of those? Some of you do not have good memories of the child, like of the childish or the childhood times of your life. But yet, a child, a normal child, we'll say, and by the way, normal is not what we think normal is. Normal is what is reflected in the Word of God. Normality, it means many things to many people. And as we think of normality, we think of our cultural relationships, mannerisms and things that we have developed through our lives that cause us to be normal in our own thinking. But the only measurement of normality is by the Word of God, by what God has said is normal. And see, the world has gotten away from that. They've got way off here on the left field or right field, whichever one you want to. Some are right and some are left. Some of you are politically on the left and some of you are politically on the right. But God has a normality that we need to seek God and come to understanding what is normal for the family. And so we get back to the idea that Jesus taught that you have to become like a little child. He came as a little child. And He developed this idea. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself as the little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. So you see, the idea of the Father being the prophet, the Holy Spirit being the priest, and Jesus being the son or the child, and that is brought in to the family. And so as we look to the nature of God, we can find the answer to the needs of the family. And if we'll model ourselves after the patterns that God has laid down, then we can see a healing, amen, that will come forth in our families today. I want us to look at your little instruction sheets or your definition sheets. The second Do you need these? Who needs a copy of the definition sheets? If we get somebody. I want to share with you the definition of boundaries. Now, during this time, we had some tremendous ministries. Since the last time that Mavis and I spoke with you, you have been privileged to hear some of the finest ministries that you can find anywhere. We have been blessed. Amen. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can see it revealed here in each one of these ministries as they have just about literally covered all of these definitions in some form or another. So that has left us with not too much to have to say concerning these definitions. So we're not going to go into a lot of that today because the Holy Spirit has already taken care of it. Amen. But I'd like to refer to boundaries. Dee Dee, in her message, talked about removing the ancient landmarks. And Jack, in his singing, talked about keeping between the lines. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there's boundaries that we must pay attention to. Anybody knows that when you get out of the lines going down the highway, you're putting your life in danger. And so when you get out of the laws of God and out of the boundaries which God has set up in the family. See, God has set the family in the earth. In fact, in Psalms it says that he has set the solitary. Now that word solitary means single. And you can use that in many ways. In fact, I've used it in speaking to singles, that God has placed singles in families. So he's placed the solitary in families. And this word solitary actually means each one, individually, personally. He has set us in families. So every one of us, God intended for us to be an active part of a family and to stay within the boundaries of the family. Amen. And there's a lot of rebellion today. The reason that our children today are not walking in righteousness is because we have raised a generation of children whom we have allowed to go beyond the boundaries. We have let down the standards, and we have allowed them to do exactly what they wanted to do, and they have no restraint. So we see and we wonder, why do we have so many dysfunctional families? It's because we have not kept within the boundaries. So boundaries are important to us. Absolutes. The world does not like absolutes. They don't want you telling them how they should live. But boundaries establish what is ours and what is not ours as individuals. And this relationship that we have limits and identity. And we need to learn what those limits and identities are. And God has so graciously laid those limits down in His Word, in the law of God. And we've heard a lot about the law of God. And when you get outside the law of God, then you have the curses that we've seen and heard talked about during these days. And so this is God's boundary. So beautifully and graciously and wonderfully laid out. And this should be the tool in order to bring healing to the family. There's no other source but the Word of God. The Word of God needs to come back. The reason that families, especially Christian families, are falling apart, they have forsaken the family altar of coming together in the name of Jesus and simply agreeing with the children and the mother and the father, saying, we're going to serve God. We're going to go to the house of God. You're not going to do the things that cause a destruction in your life. And you begin to establish the guidelines and the boundaries. And we can't afford to get out of the boundary. There's so many people that are working in other people's boundaries and not taking care of their own boundaries. You find a lot of people wanting to tell other people how to live and how to walk when they need to be taking care of their own territory in their own lives. Amen. And they get themselves in trouble and into problems, into circumstances and situations that they don't need to be involved in. So if we will understand that God has called us to take care of our property, you know, we have properties where they put the fences up to distinguish the boundaries. In our home, we have a fence all the way around our house. We're kind of unique because we have four yards that we touch instead of the usually three. And so some of us have more neighbors than others. Or we can figureize that by saying some of us have more opportunity to touch the world than others have opportunity to touch the world. But there's still boundaries. I can't go over in the other man's yard and make myself at home unless he invites me to come over there. Amen? And so if you'll stay out of the other man's yard, when he talking to children in children's church, we used to say, keep your hands in your own yard. And we need to keep our hands in our own yard and take care of our own family. And if everybody will take care of their own property, then all the community's going to look good. Amen. And so boundaries are very, very important. I think we heard about stewardship. Was it this morning or last night that we heard about stewardship? When was it? Yesterday. So stewardship is the principle governing boundary. And so stewardship is an administrator or a director, or steward is an administrator or director of people and property. He's responsible for the care and maintenance of a company or garden or a family. So stewardship is responsibility. And so we need to pray as the body of Christ, Lord, bring us back to that point of stewardship in America where we take care of the family. The political problems of this nation can be solved if people will take care of the family. The situations that we're in today is because mothers and dads have abdicated their responsibility. And they've grown children. Children have come through dysfunctional, full of hate, full of resentment, full of problems that we're facing today. But God has the answer. Amen. He can get us back on course. And God bless you as you seek to go out from here in this weekend and try to change the situations and the circumstances that we are involved in as a nation and as a political situation. I'm very concerned about that. As you've heard spoken several occasions during this week, you need to pray as never before between now and November for this nation. Amen. And those that are daring to stand up for traditional family values, you need to stand behind those people with your prayers. You need to find out. Don't vote with your pocketbook. Don't vote according to the need of the economy. Don't vote with your head and reasoning. Vote with your heart, because there's where the discernment's going to come. That's where the Holy Spirit is going to help you to know and distinguish between the candidates and those that are running for office in the different levels of our nation. Ask God to help you to know who to vote for in these coming days. God bless you.
Well, I don't know about you, but I have been so blessed. It has been so wonderful. So wonderful. We just sit here and just spoke in. It's just been such a wonderful healing, even for me, just to be here and to hear. And I feel that God has moved on a lot of your lives, and a lot of you have come to me. There have been many of you come to me and said that you feel God healing you in some areas, and that I've had about 8 people wanting to know how to start support groups. And I want to talk about that just for a moment, but before I get on that, I want to share with you a little bit more about my testimony and my coming into what I'm walking in. I have gone through lots of deliverance. I have been delivered of lots of things. I don't even keep record. I don't even know what all I've been delivered from. I've been delivered, I've had many people to work on me in deliverance. Wynn Worley, Derek Prince, the Millers, I've had, you know, just different facets of deliverance. And one day as I began to say, Lord, I've had all of this deliverance, no telling how much I've been delivered from, and yet I still have some feelings that I can't touch. I just have some things in my life that's still not just right. When is it going to end? And so I heard the Lord say to me, this was back in 1974, 75, and I began to hear the Lord say to me, you have tried to cast out. You have a wounded spirit. Well, I didn't know what a wounded spirit is. I thought all I have in me is the Holy Spirit. And I was such a dumb green thing, didn't realize that I had a human spirit. And so the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know, I don't understand what you mean. And so look with me, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And back in those days, I hadn't been filled with the Spirit too long, and most of this probably began to happen in 75, because I was filled with the Spirit in the late part of 73, and then began to move in the gifts immediately after I was filled with the Spirit. I had a gift of prophecy, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and so my first inkling was of deliverance was I was taught Christians could not have demons. So when the Lord showed me that a spirit of divination was operating in my family down through the third generation from my grandmother. Well, my grandmother, we as children would go and sit in the car when she would go to fortune tellers. And she did palm reading and did several things. And so this was all news to me. And I began to say, Lord, what do I do? Who do I go to? I had no one. I mean, I knew no one. And the Lord said, if you'll follow my directions, I'll show you how to get delivered. So I began to do self-deliverance. I was delivered lots of things just by this Holy Ghost telling me. I'd just start praying and crying out to God, and I'd start yawning and throwing up and choking, and it was between the Lord and I. I couldn't even tell my mother who lived with me. And so then God began to bring me in the path of Wynn Worley. How many of you know when you're walking in something and you need someone to know you've not lost your mind, he'll bring you someone that'll either put a tape in your hand or a book. A lot of you are shaking your head, so you know what I'm talking about. And God is good. I mean, it's so wonderful. But as I walked through this and did not understand what I was walking in, and this has been many years, and so the Lord said to me, go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, I know that I'm spirit, soul, and body. And the Lord says, I heal all three. So it was just little by little, I began to, when Worley came to Houston, he began to work with me. I began to do some things and began to get your mail out when you came. Derek Prince come to the Evangelistic Temple all the time. He worked with me just wherever I could draw. And I see this today. I see a hunger in many of your faces. And the Lord would say, you see, because you have a hunger in your heart, I'm going to satisfy that hunger. The Lord says, you see, I have established this place, this very day, for you to come to this very place. And it's not by accident that you come to receive from me. The Lord would say, you see, as you open up your heart and your spirit, you're going to receive more this weekend than you even expected to receive. For the Lord would say, you see, I have planted seeds, and they have gone out. And many seeds are being established in your very spirit, soul, and body this day. And the Lord says, you see, as you begin to take what you have learned this very weekend and apply it You're going to grow, and you're going to come forth. And the Lord says, I've called many of you to reach out and begin to work in deliverance, to heal the sick, to do the callings and the biddings of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord would say, now, be serious. Be serious. The Lord says, I've already spoke that the winds are blowing. And when the winds begin to blow and begin to stir, if you'll turn your face to the wind, don't turn your back to the wind and walk away from the wind. If you turn your face to the wind and your whole being to the wind, the Lord will cleanse and purge with that wind, and then you'll be in the flow of the Lord. But the Lord says, you turn your face away from the wind. You turn your face away from what God's doing, and you'll keep exactly what you have today, and you'll not go any further. And the Lord says, then you'll become cold. And then you'll lose a little and a little more and a little more. And that's what we have in the body of Christ today. Hallelujah. But I see such a hunger. If you'll just be open to receive all that the Lord has, it's going to be an abundant supply. You see, the Lord wants you delivered and healed more than you do. He has such a desire with a relationship. You see, you cannot have a proper relationship with the Lord until you are delivered and healed. And they do go hand in hand. How many of you have ever been healed physically? All of us could raise our hand and testify. And see, we receive a lot of healing. We don't even know that we're being healed. How many of you have been healed and you didn't even know you were healed until all of a sudden the pain was gone? Isn't God wonderful? It's the same way in our human spirit. You see. Now, I want to talk just a moment to you about support groups. I've had about 8 or 9 people come to me and say, how do I get a support group started? Okay, and that's on page 2 at the bottom of the... Okay, I want to talk to you just a moment about some support groups. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about is the way I do it. There are many... Support groups is a form of discipling. When you get saved, you need someone to disciple you, right? Okay? When you get deliverance, you need help. You need discipling. You need to be in with people that believe in deliverance. And I'm sure there's some of you today, you may go to a church who they do not believe in deliverance. I've been there many times. But God will always put you with someone who will agree with you. He's faithful, I guarantee you. He's faithful. When I was living in Mexico, God brought me someone that believed just like I did. The people I traveled with didn't necessarily believe in deliverance. But I was an intercessor. And I prayed, and I saw God do miracles. In fact, God brought me 5 American women in Monterrey, Mexico, who believed in deliverance. And every time I had a day or two off, I was there teaching and working with them. So God will bring you someone. And so let me share with you just a moment about the support groups and how I started. I started over 15 years ago just working like the Holy Ghost told me to work. I had a singles ministry in Houston, Texas for about 5 or 6 years. And people began to come to me, singles, and they had lots of problems. And I said, God, I feel unequipped. I really don't know how to handle these things. And the Lord said, if you will be obedient to me and listen to me and hear my voice, there'll be many set free. So I began to listen and obey the voice of the Lord. And let me tell you, love and compassion is your number one thing with healing of emotion. Without compassion, without love, the love of Christ, I've just seen the compassion pour through me sometimes just on a one-to-one basis and began to weep. And people start throwing up and be delivered. And I'm like, what have I done? You know. So there are many ways of deliverance, many ways of healing. And I began to just, people would call, and the single gals, and they would call, and I just began to work with them, and I would pray, and I'd say, Lord, show us. Lord, give me word of knowledge, or maybe would show the girl I was working with. And we just simply walked it out by the Holy Spirit. We had no book but the Bible. And so sometimes that's where God starts you out, all right? It's the compassion and the desire to help people. I believe the Lord gives us a desire to help people, and that's where the Millers are. They had a desire. You know, now, they could have come here and built a beautiful place and just sat here on their beautiful back porch and just, you know, just... But no, they had a compassion to help you. They had a compassion to help other people. And I praise God for those who have compassion. But in the support group, I always tell people, I do not function in a professional, a therapy. It's not psychology. It is a biblical-based relationship. And led by the Holy Spirit. And a few years ago, well, I say a few years ago, about 12, 13 years ago, I was working with so many people in individuals, so I said, God, I can't handle this anymore. You're going to have to pull back, or you're going to have to do something because I can't handle all of this. And the Lord began to speak to me to put people in groups. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit told me to do. I do not know. I cannot tell you what He's going to tell you to do, okay? He may not tell you to do anything. He may not tell you to start a support group. I don't know. I'm speaking only from my own experience, okay? First time I did this, I took women from my church, and I ended up with about 20 women, and I had counseled every one of them, worked with every one of them for over a year individually. And so I would teach, and then I'd divide up in four or five in a little circle and have them to just express their feelings and pray for one another. And it grew, and so finally I had people would say, oh, when are you going to do another one? So about 8 years ago, we were still in our church in Anaheim, and I decided that I had too many people coming to me. So what we did is I ran a little advertisement in the newspaper, and I opened it up to everyone except just in from my church. I would be off 3 weeks. I would take the classes into 6 weeks. Now, this is the way I did. I would bring them in, and I would teach on a subject for 45 minutes, either teach on rejection biblically, I would teach on unforgiveness, or I would teach on anger, or I would teach on whatever. I was led by the Holy Spirit. Then I would break them off and go into, put them in their small groups, and I would have a leader. Take four people with a leader. And then one of the first things that we would talk about would be your relationship with your father. The next week, maybe the relationship with your mother. We would begin to do this, and we had it where if a person did not want to talk, they didn't have to talk. And a lot of times they'll come and sit in a deliverance session and never say a word for three or four times, and then first thing you know, they'll begin to open up. Let me give you an example. I've seen many women change. We had a woman who came, and she was an unkempt woman. She was... full of anger, and she said the first time in class, I don't want to talk about men, I hate them. And she kind of growled when she said, I hate men. And I told my secretary, I said, she is a challenge for me, we're going to take her on. We began to love her. See, people come that have not been loved. People have come that no one will listen to them. Sometimes people just They just need to talk to someone. And in these little groups, they're hearing other people talk, and it's like putting a mirror before their face. Pretty soon, they see their own self looking in a mirror. And so they see, and things just happen. James 5 says, confess your faults one to another, pray that you be healed. That's all a support group is. When they confess their faults, they pray for one another. So, anyway, let me tell you about the lady. So far, she went through five support groups. We could see her mellowing. We could see her softening. And we just love her. We'd just hug her and tell her how much we loved her and how beautiful she was. You see, sometimes the Lord speaks those things that are not as though they were, because that's the way He wants them to be. That's the way we did. And I began to see her change. I began to see... After about 9 or 10 months, she began to fix her face and her hair, and she began to kind of look like a lady. She wasn't in a church. She started coming to our church. And I will never forget the day I stood up on the platform, and we just called for those who needed prayer. deliverance or prayer, whatever they needed to come forward. And she walked the aisle, and she said to me, caught over my hand, "Would you pray that God would bring me a Christian husband?" Now that was a healing, because out of her mouth was, "I hate men." So you see, it's a slow process, and it takes a lot of patience. But we worked with her in deliverance. We worked with her in healing. We showed love to her, love and compassion. So it's a form of discipling. Now, in the support groups, the women learn to pray for each other. There is a bonding that takes place, and I don't understand it. But let me tell you, God had the greatest support group, our Father God. Father God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a support group. Okay? Jesus came, and he and his disciples were a support group. You see what I'm saying? Then the first early church met in homes. They were like a support group. Some people call them cell groups. It's whatever. But it's meeting in that little Bible study. There's a bonding that goes on. You see what I'm saying? You pray for one another. And then you come back the next week and you're excited because you hear the prayer request. You hear the answer to prayer. So it's this terminology. You know, we get hung up on terminology. It's like some of the things that some of the people have talked about here. We may say one thing and they say it another, but it all means the same thing. So it's just kind of wherever you're coming from and with your terminology. Now, want to move on here. So maybe that'll help you to understand. There are many ways of support groups, many ways. Many people do it different ways, okay? Now, I want to talk just a moment about pretending and denial. Now, that's on page 7. How many of you have ever pretended? Page 3. I'm looking on my note page instead of my wrong page. Sorry about that. Page 3. How many of you have ever pretended when you were a child? Okay. We all have pretended. And we've worked with people that pretended so much. And I've worked with people that ended up with a spirit guide telling them what to do. So you have to be careful. And if a child, it's okay for them to have an imagination, because the Lord, that's part of our five senses, is our feeling and our imagination. But if you get off and if you can open yourself up to demonic activity. We've worked with people where would have red horse or all kinds of different spirit guides telling them literally what to do. And so that just opens, that is a demonic force. So we have to be careful, and we need to be able to check out our children with pretending. A lot of times in your childhood, you may go through a shock. It can either be an accident. It could be a verbal abuse. It could be sexual abuse. And so we, part of the time we call it like a disconnecting, a part of their feeling no longer feels that, okay? And so they come into denial after they pretend and they hurt. Well, then they finally go into denial. So there's two kinds of pretending for victims. One of them can be in a shock. And then the other one can be a child that would get in disobedience or be ruling, and they can begin to pretend. I've worked with several MPDs, multiple personality disorder, that goes right along with demonic activity, but then they do damage. And then there are a lot of times there's healing that needs to be taken place, a lot of times in those areas. And we're learning more about my first action with MPD, I thought you just cast them out and went on. Well, we worked with one lady and worked with her, and then I began to see, and the Lord began to speak to me, that there was damage there that needed to be taken care of and needed to be healed. I'm not going to get into a lot of that because there's a lot of it that we could get into for a time. We won't. Okay? Let's talk about the adult alcoholic, the ACOA. How many of you here were raised in an alcoholic family? I'd just like to see, have a background. Okay, there are many of you. Okay. There's a wide range of things that can happen to us from being raised in an alcoholic family. A lot of times we can have psychological problems. We can have compulsive behaviors, familiar spirits. We can pick up on the same thing that's gone through our families for years. And we've broken and taken care of so many of those this weekend. But, you know, let me tell you something. A one-time thing doesn't always get the root of it. And you have to go back. And so just keep on. And, you know, it's good for you to learn self-deliverance because something may manifest sometime and there's nobody around but you, you know. So you just... I get down in the floor and I just call them out in the name of Jesus. It's that simple. Just take care of them. You've got authority. Just like healing, you have authority to lay hands on your own self. You have authority to lay hands on other people. You have authority to cast out devils. But now you don't go around doing that unless they're willing. You know, some people don't want to be healed. When I was working and living in Mexico, we went to Guadalajara, and we were working the altars, and a lady, beautiful lady, came up in the wheelchair, and the Lord said, don't even pray for her. I said, boy, I rebuked that. I thought, I heard the wrong voice. This wouldn't be the Lord. The Lord says, she loves the attention she's getting. She doesn't want to be healed. Well, we began to talk with the family afterwards, and sure enough, they took care of her. She was a fairly young woman. She loved where she was. She had never gotten attention before, and she loved the attention. Well, sometimes some people want to keep their demons because they love their pets, you see. And so you can't work with healing or deliverance or anything until they decide that they want to get rid of those. Okay, let's go on. Let me talk to you just a moment about alcohol. I was raised in an alcoholic home, and my ex-husband ended up being an alcoholic, and I hated it. I did not understand it, but I hated alcohol with a passion, and I thought anybody who wants to quit drinking can do it on their own. I did not understand it. So I began to work with a lady, and she began to take me through. She needed saved, and so in order for her to get saved, she said, I'll go to church with you and talk to you about the Lord if you'll go to Al-Anon with me. Well, that was the Lord, a way of getting me into Al-Anon. I went to Al-Anon, and I began to see something like I'd never seen before. I began to see that they were doing a little something the church needed to do. The church needed to let people talk their problems out. And you can learn a lot by talking. And that's kind of how I based my, didn't just follow them, but I could see they were missing it, but they had something the church needed, okay? So I began to see that when the people would get together, they would just talk, and I thought, if Christians would release and pray. So you see, our motto was, if you release, you can receive, see? But you've got to be willing to release the demonic forces. You've got to be willing to give up. You've got to be willing to change. And all of those things in order to receive the things that you need of the Lord. Japan, we do missionary work in Japan, and Japan is, they have more alcoholics. I mean, they're a drinking workaholic country. And so we see a lot of traumatic things taking place there. Now, my brother and my sister and I, there were three of us in the family. My daddy was a chain smoker and an alcoholic. None of us smoked or drank. A few years ago, my brother he had several cattle trucks and a farm, and so he was, he had to a lot of times drive the truck when one of his drivers wasn't there, and he began to get him a little beer and began to drink it, and my mother called me once and said, your brother has committed himself to the state hospital. And I said, why? And she said, well, he says he drinks too much. And she said, no, and Buff even knew he drank. And so later, my brother was so fearful, because he would get a six-pack of beer a week, he was so fearful that he went and I mean, he got rid of that stuff, you know. And at that time, God was dealing with him and bringing him in to a closer walk with the Lord. But you see, it can turn the other way. They can end up being alcoholics. You know, it didn't leave us without problems. It's just that we have to keep it bound and break the curses off so it won't hit our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, and it'll not go into the next generation. You following what I'm saying?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.